Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning my fourth week of teaching on You've Already Got It, So Quit Trying to Get It. That's the title of a teaching that I have. There's six parts to it. And we are now into the fourth teaching in this six-part series. I've already covered a lot of material. If you haven't heard this, I encourage you to please call or write and get these materials. You can also go to our website. And on our website, you can download this teaching free of charge. And you can get this. But it is important that you get hold of this concept that instead of God being able to do anything but having done nothing, and you being in the process of trying to get God to do it, it's so much better to understand that God has already accomplished everything He's ever going to do through Jesus. If you need to be saved, you don't need God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. You just have to learn to receive that forgiveness. Believe and receive. You don't need to be healed. By His stripes you were already healed. You just have to receive that healing. You don't need God to prosper you. He's already done it. You just need to take that, believe it, and start using it, and you will begin to prosper. It makes a huge difference when you understand that you've already got everything and that you don't need God to do it. And then on our program last Friday, I started relating this to the devil. Because when it comes to our taking authority over the devil and rebuking him, most Christians do not approach it from a standpoint that Satan is already defeated, that we already have overcome him. They think that he is a viable foe and that we're still fighting him. As a matter of fact, one of my friends looked up the definition of warfare. You know, you hear people talk about spiritual warfare. Warfare is defined as hostility between two undefeated foes. And so when you even talk about you're doing spiritual warfare, you are crediting Satan with more than he deserves. He is a defeated foe. So really, it's not warfare. You can only have a war with somebody who hasn't been defeated. If they're defeated, it's really not war. Satan has been defeated, and we need to understand that. On our program last Friday, I used this scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that we are supposed to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I began to make the point that Satan really doesn't have any power or any authority to do anything. Satan has been stripped. Jesus completely stripped Satan of all of his power. And the only thing that Satan can do is just come against us with lies and deception. And if we don't know the truth, then we submit to his lies and deceptions, and we are the ones that empower the devil. Now that probably needs some explanation. I'm not going to take time to do this. As a matter of fact, I just want to make mention of this, that I have an entire book entitled The Believer's Authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church. And this teaching will go into a lot of detail on this. It'll actually tell you where Satan got his power and authority from. It wasn't from God directly. He got his authority from mankind. We are the ones that empowered the devil. When Adam and Eve yielded unto him, we took the authority that God gave us to rule the earth, and we are the ones that gave Satan his power. Jesus came as a man and fought the devil, defeated him, and came out of hell with the keys of death and of hell upon his side. Revelation chapter 1, I believe it's verse 18, says that. And he overcame Satan, and Satan has now been stripped. His kingdom is destroyed. Satan is a non-factor unless we empower him again by believing his lies. He has no power to force you to do anything. Satan cannot make anything happen. Now that is an amazing, amazing statement. And again, I want to refer you to those materials because I'm not going to spend my whole program today trying to make that point, but I really believe that. So let me go back again and say this, that I was raised in a denomination that Satan was a non-factor. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started really studying the Word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I found out that Satan was a factor. Jesus had to cast demons out of people to get people healed. There were demonic powers. Satan actually tempted Jesus in the wilderness and came against him. And so much of what goes on, as it says right here in this verse I've already read, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan is behind, I can't say everything, but most of what we encounter. Even people who've got a chip on their shoulder and just, you know, are causing problems. It's demonic. It's demon-inspired the way that things are happening. And many people are not dealing with the root of the problem. They're just trying to deal with what they can see above the ground, the physical, natural things, and not realizing it's got a demonic origin. Now, all of these things being said, when I started studying the Word and realized this, I began to start recognizing that some of the problems we were dealing with were actually demonic in origin, and we started seeing people delivered and demons cast out of people. We saw people that had been heroin addicts immediately set free and not have to go through withdrawals. And because of it, we got pretty famous in the Baptist realm right there in Garland, Texas area. And people started coming out of the woodworks who had demonic problems and wanting us to cast these demons out. As I told on our program last Friday, I hadn't got time to go back through this, but it just came upon us. We stumbled into this. We didn't have a clue what we were doing. We just knew that there were demons out there and that not everything that was happening, physical, emotional, financial, was all physical. It wasn't just natural. There was demonic stuff behind it. And we stumbled into this. And then when people started coming, I mean, we had so many people coming that we could have spent all day, every day, casting demons out of people. So we didn't know what to do. We went and got a book. And I'm not going to tell you the name of this book because I do not recommend it. But it was a very, very popular book back in the early 1970s. And it talked about demon possession and even Christians being able to have a demon. And how do you deal with it? And it was based a lot on experience, and it wasn't based on Scripture, and there was a lot of bad stuff in it. That's the reason I don't recommend it. But it's what we read because we knew nothing, and we were just wanting to get input. Some of the things that they said was you had to have two people present to cast a demon out because, you know, the demons could overcome one, which that isn't necessarily true. It's a good practice, but it's not essential. It's not necessary. You had to have the person throw up in a bucket or in something. There always had to be a physical manifestation. You always had to ask the demon their name. What's your name in the name of Jesus? One of my friends, he read this book and he was going through this and he says, "What's your name?" And the demon said, "Liar." And he says, "Are you telling me the truth?" I tell you, the things that we did, it was just unbelievable. But again, we didn't know what we were doing. We just knew the demons were real and that it was the source of some of the problems of people that we were dealing with. So we read this book. We started asking their names, going through all this stuff. We had pages of stuff that you had to fill out. You had to come and be prepped 5, 6, 10 times before we would cast the demons out. And let me just say that there is zero scriptural precedent for those kind of things. Jesus didn't have people fill out forms. Jesus didn't take weeks and months to prep them and get them ready. There is one time that Jesus asked a demon their name. That is an exception, not a rule. And also you had to cast these demons into certain places. You had to be very specific or otherwise they would be free to roam and just come into anybody. There was a lot of weird stuff that we were taught, but we didn't know any better. And anyway, I bring this up to say that there was a guy that was the associate pastor of the Baptist church that I went to. And together, we were casting demons out of people. And we'd seen some great results. And there was this one guy who was a homosexual that we had been dealing with for about 3 weeks. And we had it scheduled for him to come and get a deliverance. But he came to our Baptist church on a Wednesday night when the other guy, the associate pastor, was gone. And I was just there by myself. I was the only, there was only two of us in this church that were doing this. And this demon-possessed guy came. He had been a homosexual. He wanted to get delivered of this. And he also had another homosexual with him that he brought just to see, you know, what was going on. So they came to our Baptist church on a Wednesday night, and they asked for me, and the usher came and got me, and I went out and saw this guy. And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I came to get delivered." And I said, "Hey, we got you scheduled for next week. You can't be delivered tonight." And anyway, he says, "Well, I'm not leaving with these demons. I'm getting delivered of this demonic stuff." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to deal with you by myself." And I said, "I'm not doing it." He says, "Well, you better do something because these demons are coming out." And man, you know, you had to plead the blood and protect everybody and all of this other stuff that we had learned. And so I took him and went into a back room. Jamie and I weren't married at that time, but we prayed together a lot. And so I got Jamie out of the church, and Jamie came back with me. And they put us in this corner room where two sides of the room were glass. And anyway, we went in there. They had a lot of chairs stacked up about 10 high all around the room. And so we took a couple of chairs down and we sat down. I started talking to this guy, and this guy said, "You better pray. You better plead the blood over this auditorium because these demons are coming out on me." And I said, "Well, I'll pray, but I'm not going to cast these demons out of you," because that I was taught that I couldn't do it by myself and I had to go through all of this big ordeal. So anyway, I just started to pray and asked God what to do. And when I did, this guy fell out on the floor and started barking like a dog and slithering like a snake. And he started taking these chairs and throwing them up against this glass wall and just doing, I mean, it was obvious that this was demonic. It wasn't just human. He was making noises that humans can't make. And he was doing all of this stuff. And I didn't want to cast these demons out. It was against our rules that we had set up, but something had to happen. So I started asking the demons their name. "What's your name?" And one would name himself. And before I could even command him to leave, then another demon would name himself and another one and this and that. And I just felt like I was being made an absolute fool of. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And Jamie was over there praying just as fast as she could go. This other homosexual that he had brought who was demon-possessed, he had climbed up on top of one of these stacks of chairs. He was up against the ceiling with his back against the wall, just scared, spitless at all this stuff that was going on. And anyway, I didn't know what to do. And finally, I just remembered a scripture that says Jesus commanded the demons to hold their peace and come out of him. And I thought, well, boy, that would be good. And so instead of asking them their names, instead of waiting for them to throw up in a trash can, instead of going through all this stuff that we'd been doing, I just said, "In the name of Jesus, I command all of you to shut up and come out of this guy right now in Jesus' name." And the guy just fell on the floor like he was dead. And I actually went over and rolled him over to see if he was dead. And he just was praising God. And he said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm free." And he was praising God. And I thought, man, that was easier than the way we've been doing it. And I got a revelation right then. And I decided that instead of reading somebody's book and having them throw up in a trash can and ask them their names, which you can't trust a demon to tell you the truth, and instead of doing all this stuff, we'd just, you know, take authority and command them to shut up and come out. And I still see people delivered, but, you know, it's not through all of the stuff that we used to do. But anyway, before I get away from this, let me just say that by us focusing that much on the devil and having people come, and every day we were casting demons out, it made me so demon conscious. It made me so conscious of the satanic realm that by focusing on him, I was empowering the devil. And I began to start having some really weird stuff happen. I won't glorify the devil and tell you all of it, but I had dreams where Satan would fight me. I'd wake up and think, well, it's just a dream. And I'd go in the bathroom and I'd be bleeding. I physically had been attacked. It wasn't just a dream. There was demonic things happening. I remember one time I was going to open up what we call the Arlington Christian Center in Arlington, Texas. And it was on the right next to the campus of the University of Texas at Arlington. It had been a fraternity house, and I rented it. I went in and cleaned it out, and I was going to start this drug outreach program where we rehabilitated people and did things. And my church was having an all-night prayer meeting. We didn't assemble at the church, but wherever you were, people were assigned to pray an hour during, you know, 24 hours a day. And I had like 1 to 2 o'clock time. I went up to this ex-fraternity house, and I went up there to start praying late at night. And I had some demonic stuff happen to me. I know some of you think I'm weird. I'm just telling you, this is what happened. You can accept it or reject it. But I was in there praying, and something attacked me. There was nobody in that house, and yet I was being choked. I was being beaten. Physically, I could feel this. I mean, I could barely breathe. Something had me around the neck. I was being hit. And man, I just got out of there. I got in my car. I backed out. This is like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever. I backed out into the street, and I was just getting ready to put that gear shift down into drive and peel rubber and get out of there. And right before I did that, the Lord spoke to me and says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm getting out of here. There's demons in that house." And he just reminded me in Ephesians chapter 6, after it talks about you wrestle against all of this spiritual power, it says, take unto you the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, have your loins girt about with truth, etc. And he just spoke to me and said, all of the armor is for your front. There isn't any armor for your back. And as soon as the Lord spoke that to me, I knew what that meant. That you can't turn your back on the devil. If you're going to fight him, you got to face him. You got to stand against it. And I remember sitting at 2, 3 in the morning in my car out in the middle of the street and thinking, Lord, you do not want me to go back into this house and fight these demons. And the Lord never said anything else. You know, the Lord's not going to argue with you. He'll tell you something, and then it's up to you what you're going to do with it. He won't force you to do it. And I sat in that street for quite a while thinking about this, and I realized that, you know what, I can't run from the devil. If I ever turn my back, I'm powerless. So I pulled back in the driveway. I sat there for a while and prayed. And then I went in that house, locked myself in. And from like 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock in the morning, I fought all this demonic stuff in that house. And I rebuked it. And I mean, I was physically being attacked, but I fought it. And by the time the sun came up, it was gone and it was broken. And that house was clean. I know some of you don't believe this stuff, but it's scriptural. There were demons in places like Daniel chapter 10. And anyway, I'm not trying to justify that. I'm just telling you this is what happened to me. And my point is that I was having all of these demonic attacks, and I actually found myself one time. I would pray anywhere from 2 to 3 hours a day. And one day as I was praying, I realized that I was actually spending more time talking to the devil. During the time that I called prayer, I was rebuking and binding this and commanding the devil to do this. And I realized that I was more focused on the devil than I was on God. And I don't, you know, I'm not condemned about this, but I think I got totally off track. And I got to where I saw a demon on every doorknob. Every time a person had a twitch, every time they coughed, every time they moved some way, I was looking for the devil. And because of it, my focus on the demonic realm actually started giving Satan power in my life. And I started having these demonic things happen. And it was a progression of stuff, but the Lord finally showed me this, showed me that I was giving way too much attention to the devil, that the best defense is a good offense. Instead of going out and just constantly thinking about trying to protect myself against the devil and binding all this, just put my attention so much on God and seek God with my whole heart that Satan has no inroad. He has no foothold in my life. And I just decided that I wasn't going to go through all this stuff. I wasn't going to spend weeks prepping people for deliverance. If a person needed to be delivered, I'd just cast the demon out of them and get it over with and not do all of this stuff. I wasn't going to spend all of my time rebuking the devil. I was just going to focus on God. And did you know that that's been probably 40 years, 35 to 40 years ago, when I made that decision and I just started seeking God with my whole heart. And since that time, I have never had another demonic manifestation in my life. Now, I've dealt with demons in other people. I've cast demons out of other people. And I have rebuked the devil when I'm praying over a person or over a situation. But you know what? I hadn't had any of those physical attacks. I really believe that it was my focus on the demonic realm. And by doing that, I was actually empowering the devil by giving him my attention. And this was causing a lot of problems. And the reason I've given this testimony and shared all of these things today is because I believe that the way that spiritual warfare is being taught in the body of Christ today is doing that exact same thing. They are so focused on the devil. And don't misunderstand me. I know that he exists. And I know that he is the source behind a lot of things. But Satan cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. So now, instead of just going to a person who has a demonic problem and me taking authority and rebuking that thing and casting it out without their cooperation, what I'll do now is go to the person, and I may tell them that it's demonic, that there is a spirit working in you, but he can't do this if you wouldn't cooperate with him. And so you quit believing this lie, and you quit believing this, and you recognize what God said. And I teach the person how to grab hold of the things of God. And in the majority of cases, if the person will go to fighting the devil and resisting him, the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If the person quits cooperating and starts resisting the devil, Satan will flee from him. And in the majority of cases, that's how I see people delivered from demonic things, is by teaching them the truth and getting them to resist. There are some people who have allowed the devil such a foothold in their life. He has so much control with them that the principle still exists that if they could renew their mind and resist the devil, he'd flee from them. But they're just so far gone, they may need somebody to help them. And so there are some people that I do cast demons out of, and I've actually done this and got it on tape. I've recorded it. I've got some situations that I can guarantee you it's not human, the sounds and the things coming out of people. I remember one person, it was about 35 years ago, I cast a demon out of a woman in one of my services in Denver, and this woman's got saved, has been baptized in the Holy Spirit and serving God ever since, and her husband will come to my meetings and they're teaching Sunday school class, and God's just done great things with them. I think sometimes you have to help a person, but now I've switched to where the vast majority of what I do is teaching the individual how to resist the devil, and then Satan flees from them. If you do it that way, then they can stay clean. If you don't do it that way and you just take authority and cast the devil out, you first of all aren't going to see 100% results, because there's a reason that devil was allowed to have control in their life. But even if you get him out, then he'll come back seven times worse. And if the person didn't stand on their own, sometimes it makes them more vulnerable. So anyway, I've got a lot more to share about this, but I'm going to be talking about how Satan is completely stripped of his power. And we're going to be sharing some truths with you that I guarantee are going to make a difference. So join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth, and listen to our announcer as he gives you information about how you can receive this teaching on You've Already Got It.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled You've Already Got It is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Triumphant Procession, free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled The Believer's Authority. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at Caris Christian Center, Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, in Warwick, England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Well, I'm saying that God does want to be well. He's given this power to us, and I'm teaching you how to walk in that healing. Because I tell you, people need to know that the Lord wasn't pleased with his disciples.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
Meet CBC graduates George and Judy Appleton, changing lives in New England. Are you a world changer? Log on to CarisBibleCollege.org, an affiliate of Andrew Womack Ministries. Change your world.